Hello and welcome to the Citation Podcast. I'm Emma McGrath, one of the professional support solicitors at Citation.
And I am Dominic Cooper, also one of the professional support solicitors at Citation.
And we're certainly in interesting times as employment lawyers, and you're probably aware as well as employers, because yesterday on the 17th of July, the new Labour government has announced some really significant developments in employment law rights. Some of these rights are going to apply from day one of employment, and that's what we're going to look at today. These plans were announced in Labour's Plan to Make Work Pay, which was issued as part of their election campaign. Now, their rationale behind these new changes is to try to strengthen workplace rights and therefore to create the right conditions for sustained economic growth.
Yeah, that's right. And perhaps one of the most significant and newsworthy changes we're seeing being introduced at the moment is greater protections from unfair dismissal. So can you talk us through that, Emma?
Yes, absolutely. So at the moment, an employee needs to be employed for at least 2 years to bring what's called an ordinary unfair dismissal claim. So that means something that's sort of a straightforward claim. So for example, say they've been dismissed for poor performance, but the employer didn't follow a fair warning procedure, you know, by giving them sort of formal warning, so they knew they had to improve. Now, there are already claims that are called automatic unfair dismissals. So that's, for example, an employee's dismissed because they raised a health and safety concern to their employer. And these already apply from day one. I think the rationale behind that is that they're perceived as being protected rights that an employee should be allowed to raise or to complain about without being punished. But what's now been announced as a fairly radical change is that the Labour government is going to introduce a day one right to bring an ordinary unfair dismissal claim, subject to the right to still operate probationary periods.
Okay, so what do we think that means in practice then?
Obviously, we need the publication of the Employment Rights Bill to know for certain what's being proposed. But the Labour plan to make work pay, which, as I said, was part of their election campaign, says that this new right would not prevent what they've called fair dismissals, for example, for reasons of capability, conduct, or redundancy. And they also do say that there can be probationary periods with fair and transparent rules and processes. What the Labour government has said is that they think that these changes will help to ensure that newly hired workers aren't fired without reason or cause. And that's going to help drive up standards in the workplace. And I suppose also encourage people to try out new jobs and new opportunities, which should help businesses grow. I think perhaps is going to lead to a bit of a mind change, I suppose, for an employer is what they really are going to have to think about is, you know, how strong is the reason that I'm looking to dismiss? Am I looking to dismiss someone for something that actually could be improved over time? So, for example, sort of timekeeping, and therefore really I should follow through a proper warning process first rather than moving straight to dismissal. And this is going to emphasise, I think, the importance of like proper recruitment processes and induction processes so that the right employees are hired for the job from the beginning. And it's also clear from the beginning that they know what's expected of them. But really sort of effective employee management and good recruitment processes is always going to benefit businesses. You know, for example, recruitment is expensive and time consuming to go through. So the best result all round is that the right employee is hired, they settle in and they do the job well.
That's all good. Yeah, another area that where there has been some changes to day one rights is in parental leave. Now, parental leave is an existing right. It's not something that has been introduced by the new government, but it's probably at the moment one of the less well known or less well understood of the various rights that relate to family life, and is probably less commonly used than many other rights as a result of that. Parental leave allows for parents or those with parental responsibilities, like grandparents or similar, to take periods of unpaid leave to care for children under 18 years old. It's applicable from birth and right up to the child's 18th birthday. It allows for up to 18 weeks leave across that whole period. It's pretty flexible in allowing employers and employees to agree rules that best suit the needs of the business in terms of taking leave in days or weeks or multiple weeks at once, in terms of notice periods, how much can be taken in a year and so on. Yeah, so that's the kind of background. However, the most relevant point in terms of the new proposals is that until now, employees had to have completed a year's service with the employer before they could exercise this right. Whereas the new government has now confirmed that the right to take parental leave will now apply right from the start of employment. They've stated that the current system, in their view, does not support working families well enough. So this is an area that they say will be reviewed within the first year of a Labour government. So not immediate, but it is coming pretty soon. I think another area where we've seen some changes is flexible working. Is that right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, of course, in April this year, 2024, we saw big changes to flexible working. So, for example, it has actually been made a day one right now to make a flexible working application. And an employee can make two flexible working applications in a year rather than the previous one. But there certainly is that the Labour government is running with this this push to make flexible working the norm in line with sort of more modern working practices. So the employment law change that's been announced is talking about making flexible working the default from day one for all workers, with a push for employers required to accommodate requests as far as is reasonable. So I think that's probably much more of a shift to an attitude of why shouldn't the flexible working application be agreed as opposed to why should it? So it is a real sort of change in emphasis. Now, we haven't got all the details of this yet. So we don't know, for example, whether there's going to be any changes to the eight broad reasons that we've got at the moment as to why an employer can say no to a flexible working request. I'm sure new proper details will be released quite soon.
Yeah, and another area where we're seeing some changes is SSP or statutory sick pay. Clearly, that's an existing right that is pretty well known and it's very commonly relied upon already. And it is already a day one right that can be taken from the start of employment, other than where the employee calls in sick literally from their first day before they've done any work at all, and some other fairly niche technical exceptions. But yeah, the Labour government now has committed to making two significant changes to the current regime on SSP. The most eye-catching is that the existing unpaid waiting period of the first 3 days will be removed, and entitlement to SSP will now start from the first day of absence. I would speculate that the logic of that is to reduce the risks from employees working when they're not really well enough to do so because they feel they can't afford to be off. But as many absences all are already only a day or two long, and it seems reasonable to expect that people may well be more inclined to take short absences if they're paid, it may well be that this could increase SSP costs for many businesses. But on the other hand, as I say, it should help businesses in the sense that staff who are not at 100% maybe shouldn't be working and therefore aren't productive and possibly making themselves worse in the long term may now feel more comfortable with taking a day or two to recover and get back to full health and therefore be more productive in that sense. The other key change is that the lower earnings limit of £123 per week to be eligible for SSP, that will be removed so that there will be more protection in that sense for the lowest earning workers. I think this will have less impact as the vast majority of workers are already above that threshold. But any businesses that do have a lot of staff who have both low weekly hours and are at or just above the minimum wage, they could see some difference from this change. It may affect them. And just to finish on that point, what is not proposed to change, or two of the key areas not proposed to change on SSP, is it will still be limited to 28 weeks entitlement, and there's no change to the rate that SSP is paid at, which is currently £116.75 per week.
Yes, so as you say, Dominic, these changes to statutory sick pay could be more expensive for businesses. And I think that could be the case as well for the changes for national minimum wage that have been introduced as well. So again, national minimum wage is another day one right in that everyone's entitled to the national minimum wage for their particular age band. And there are currently the age bands in place. There's 16 to 17 year olds, there's 18 to 20 year olds, and the national living wage is now payable from 21 upwards. Now, there have been arguments over the years that these age bands are age discriminatory. I mean, I suppose they literally are distinguishing against somebody purely because of their age. And the government, the Labour government, has now announced that they're going to remove the age bans. What they say is to ensure that every adult worker benefits. So I think that probably sounds like this, it will be the same rate of national minimum wage from age 18, but perhaps with the 16 to 17 year old rate still remaining. So I suppose if we just think about more widely day one rights that apply for all employees already, I've just mentioned about age discrimination. And I suppose obviously discrimination is a really important one to talk about, isn't it?
Yeah, certainly huge area of employment law. clearly. And as Emma mentioned, up to now, well, currently still is, but certainly in recent times, there's been a period of 2 years where people can't claim unfair dismissal. So it's been relatively low risk to dismiss employees within their first 2 years. And there has always been more flexibility in the processes we follow with staff with shorter service like that. However, I think it has been often easy for employers to overlook the fact that all the key rights around discrimination have always applied from the start of employment. And we should always be mindful of the possibility of any dismissals or other actions or decisions by the employer being perceived or portrayed as being discriminatory and potentially leading to tribunal claims, which, and any claims of that nature, will be harder to defend if the employer can't show a fair and transparent process that has led to those decisions. So as those discrimination rights have already applied from day one, I mean, right now there is no widening of the rights in that sense, but, you know, Labour has put forward some commentary on the area of discrimination. For instance, they are proposing to strengthen the rules on gender pay gap reporting, and they will also expand this to ethnicity and disability pay gap reporting, but those changes will only apply to larger businesses of over 250 staff. And another area that can often lead to discrimination claims is around pregnancy and maternity leave.
Yeah, I mean, again, that's a day one right at the moment. So an employee is entitled to maternity leave from day one of their employment. However, in terms of statutory maternity pay, the employee needs to have been in the job for 6 months at the 25th week of pregnancy, which basically has the effect that if somebody arrives in a job pregnant or becomes pregnant in the first week or so, then they wouldn't qualify for statutory maternity pay. And then I think a final one that we should mention is just working time rights.
Yes, certainly. Yeah, that is the other major area of employment law where significant rights do already apply from day one via the working time regulations. So those regulations, they guarantee rights like a 48-hour working week, 5.6 weeks holiday, limits on the hours for night workers and young workers, and also daily and weekly rest breaks. All of those are entitlements without the need for any qualifying service, and exceptions to those rights only apply in quite limited circumstances. So although there were some changes to holiday rules for part-year and irregular hours workers earlier this year, the new government is not at the moment proposing any other changes to the rights and obligations around working time, but they're certainly worth keeping in mind. But if that looks likely to change at any point, we will, of course, keep you informed. And we will also, over the next few months, with all these changes that are taking place, we will be putting out more episodes and guides and materials to help you all through this period of rapid change. So thanks for listening to this podcast, and see you next time.
Thanks very much.